Hi, I'm Michael Sunoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
Okay, this is Jay Gould with Michael Senoff of HardToFindSeminars.com. He owns and operates that website and other websites. Michael, are you there?
I'm here, Jay. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. Thank you for having me.
Michael, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, how you got started into websites and how you got started as a home worker and a home business owner?
Okay, that's a great question. It's a big question, but unfortunately, I'm going to put you off on that question, and I'll tell you why.
Sure.
Because it would take a long time. So what I'm going to do in a matter of interest, because I want to provide your listeners the best material and the best information I have, but if I have something on my website, I'm just going to direct your listeners to that. So I have an entire section on my website at hardtofindseminars.com, and if you look for the section that says bio, I have 4 or 5 pages outlining from baby pictures all the way until present. So you can get my entire story. I took time and wrote it all out for people who want to know about me, and it's all there, and it's probably presented better than what I would be able to ad lib and tell you right now. So that's probably going to be the best thing.
That's hard to find. Seminars.com. It's all one word, no dashes, correct?
All one word, no dashes, hard to find seminars with an S.com.
Yes, and I checked that out myself, and I asked you because I did see your background, but you're right, that is very elaborate. I mean, you tell everything there is to know about yourself, every trial and tribulation that you've been through, it seems.
Well, I did it for a reason. I'll tell you why. Because on the internet, with such an impersonal medium, with just images of websites and words, you've got to have a way to build a trust with your customer. And people want to know who the hell they're doing business with. So I figured, why not tell them who the hell I am?
That's one of the things I talk about in my course. You're breaking down credibility right off the bat. You're showing credibility about yourself.
Exactly. Most people on the internet, they hide behind an email address.
Exactly.
And so what I did is I got it.
Answer them half the time.
Yeah, exactly. So I got it right out front, and I provided actual proof of everything I said in my bio, backing it up with pictures, proof that everything I'm saying is true. And that's another important thing. So it's all about establishing credibility and establishing trust with the person on the other end of that computer.
I agree 100% with that. I mean, I put my phone number on there. You put your phone number all over your website at the bottom of every page, I noticed.
Every page.
Yep. And you also, I'll get into that in a few minutes, but you do have a very professional phone recording when, you know, when people call in. The whole, everything you do is professional, and you have to show credibility, and you break down the trust barrier right away.
Well, that's what I try to do. It's all about image, and that's what we want to do. We want people to trust you, because if they don't trust you, they're not going to buy from you.
So you do work from home, though, even though when they call, it does seem like it is like a huge organization, it seems like, but it's really a smaller operation that you're running. You work from home, is that right?
I work right out of my house, and we'll probably get into that a little bit more, but I'm in what used to be my garage, which was a two-car garage, which we converted and put carpet in here, nice couch, beautiful desk, computer, you know. So it is now an extension of a single-family home that I live in here in Claremont, and which is an area in California, and I am a one-man show right in my house. So I'm sitting in my garage right now talking to you.
Well, can you describe to me a typical day in the life of Michael Senoff, maybe when you wake up or once you start working at home?
All right, I'll give you a typical day, and it will depend because my wife works 3 days a week. I have 2 young children. I have an 18-month-old, and I have a 4-and-a-half-old. So my wife works 3 days a week, usually Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. So let's take today, for example. It's Thursday. Woke up around 6 o'clock. My younger one's getting a cold, so He had a rough night. Woke up at 6 o'clock to him crying. So we got the baby up, or the 18-month-old up, and spent a little time with him. Then I usually try and sneak off into my office and just check some of my emails, because usually I have a ton of emails, and you and I both know how much time it takes sifting through the junk. And so I'll go through my
email and your website. You get a lot of spam from those programs that pick up on.
Yeah, you do get a lot of spam. And so I go through my email. I spend some time with my kids, maybe around 7:30. My other son wakes up, and we hang out. We have breakfast. Then I'll take a shower, and then we'll get my older one ready for school. I have a nanny that comes in 5 days a week. So my wife takes off her work around 7, and I have a nanny who comes in at 7 to help with the kids. And
so you can get some business done?
Yeah, so she'll come at 7. My child goes to school. He has to be there at 9, and I have to take him. So I take him to school, and then I come back. And, like, right now, we started at 9:30. So I've got from about 9:30 till about 3 without any interrupted time. Well, I don't want to say any interrupted time, because I do have interruptions and crises that always happen through the day. But at least while we're talking for the next 2 hours, I've made sure not to have any incoming calls, no interruptions from outside sources. So I'm good till about 3 o'clock, and my son's playing at a friend's house, so I'll pick him up after that. Usually I wrap my day up around 5 as far as in the office here, because then we'll family time, have dinner, spend some time with the kids.
That leads me into something that I wanted to, a lot of the people, myself included, when I first started, especially with the website, people will read your bio when they go to hardtofindseminars.com. They'll see that you were not always involved in the internet, because the internet wasn't around when you first started. You were just an entrepreneur at heart.
That's right.
But even as a regular home business owner, you can find yourself being consumed by your home business, that I found, and you can be putting in a ton of hours, but you have to limit yourself. You can't make that your obsessed lifestyle. Is that basically what you try to do? You try to set a schedule for yourself similar to going to a job, but, you know, once you go into that room, that's your job for the day, and then you come back to the family later.
Well, I know how you are. You're probably a lot like me. You're a total entrepreneur, and we love to work on our businesses.
Yeah.
So we don't look at it as work. It's probably one of the top three things we'd rather be doing all the time.
Yeah.
So absolutely, I have to say family first. Family is always first. Then my next favorite thing is my business. That's usually second, you know. Family, friends, my business, and then other things. So it depends on what point of my life I'm in. Right now I have a lot of projects going on. Things are going very well. I don't have any crises in my life. So whenever you have something smooth, no one's sick, no one's in the hospital, you're not caring for someone, and you have a smooth section in your life, I take advantage of it, because life is full of crises. So I'm going to take as much advantage of this time while things are pretty smooth sailing as I can. So after the kids go down to bed, my wife usually goes to bed pretty early. I'll just come back in the office, and sometimes I'm up till 12 and 1 o'clock at night doing some work.
Yeah, I find that a lot with myself. So believe it or not, people listening to this are going to say that's not possible, but I'll wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I wake up a little bit later than most people, but that's one of the flexibility of having your own business. And I'll stay up working about 18 to 20 hours in a day, because it doesn't feel like work. You know, I'm not doing it straight like you would at a job, you know, sitting in a cubicle. I may go out to the post office, or I may stop down at Staples, or go over to a friend's house for an hour and take a break, or maybe hit Wawa, it's a convenience store.
Right.
My day is broken up, but when I come back and I'm in the office, I'm on my laptop, and it just feels like leisure time. You're just kind of messing around.
Yeah, it's very relaxed. You're in your own environment. You're not around people you don't like. Sometimes it is work, you know. And
a lot of times, there are times that I can find myself, you get frustrated because you do come across, like you said before, a couple crises. And on a website, a crisis could possibly be like a marketing strategy that you were using is no longer becoming effective. It may start to lose its run its course, so to speak, and you start to say to yourself, wow, I got to really start searching for something or trying different routes here. This isn't as successful as it was in the past. And I find that with some of my websites. You know, sometimes things have run their course, or maybe a market that I'm involved in, a target market, has gotten really oversaturated, and I realized that it was coming, but you know, now it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty and the dirty work and start to really think again. I have a question. So you have hardtofindseminars.com. What are some of the other websites that you're currently running?
Okay, let's take them one by one, okay?
Sure.
All right, first of all, hardtofindseminars.com. This is my website where I do a combination of things. One, and the main focus of the site and how it originated was I buy and resell very hard-to-find marketing seminars. Usually these are marketing seminars that sell in the retail market anywhere from $5,000 to $30,000, mainly from one guy. His name is Jay Abraham. I don't know if any...
Yep.
So Jay Abraham sells seminars. You know, people attend his seminars sometimes 150, 200 at a time at $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a pop. And the people who go to the seminars come home with all the audio tapes, sometimes the transcripts, sometimes the CDs of this material. And originally how I got started, which is all in my bio, I wanted some of that material, but I wasn't going to pay the high retail price. So I found somebody who had a set of these tapes that I wanted to listen to. And I got them for $50, and I ended up selling them up on eBay for $1,700. So there was some good profit in that, and I think I found a good market with something to hustle as long as I could find them and make some good money. And that's how the whole hard-to-find seminars evolved.
Okay.
Buying and reselling hard-to-find marketing seminars. So people could buy them at 10 cents on the dollar compared to what the retail price was. And then I have another site called Hard-to-Find Ads, which came later, and that's hard-to-find-ads, ads.com. Because I'm fascinated with copywriting and letters and proven sales letters or ads that work. Because a proven ad or a proven sales letter that works is like a combination to a safe. If you've got
these are like the headlines, the sub-headlines of sales copy, right?
Sales copy, that's correct.
That's what one says, and used time and time again.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so on this site, and this is a free site, you can go to the site and access over 700 classic hard-to-find ads, many of them from the early 1900s all the way up to the 1950s and 60s.
Because these are basically these types of sales copies and these headlines have always been successful, and they always will be. They're time-tested, correct?
That's correct. The majority of the ads were pulled from one of the largest publications during the time, and they're also all in editorial-style format. An editorial-style ad can outpull a image-type ad 5-1 just because it's editorial, because people are used to reading editorial content like in the newspaper and the magazines.
Yeah.
I've deemed it editorial-style advertising because it's so powerful.
By that name, editorial ad.
That's a good one. But it's great for stuff. So it's a great idea jogger. So if you want to create a piece of copy, you can go look through some of this stuff, get great headline ideas, get great openings for your first paragraph. And it's just a great swipe. It's a digital swipe file. And you can zoom in on the ads super close and read every word. They're all scanned in there. And it's just a great resource of good ideas for doing your own advertising.
It's hard to find ads, ads.com.
That's correct.
Okay.
And then I have idpen.com, and this you'll read about in my bio. IDPen is a business opportunity website. For 10 years, and we'll get into it in a little bit, I had started a little pen manufacturing business where I manufactured pens right out of my home. And I took one of the pens, which is an invisible ink marking pen, and created a business opportunity from it, just from my own experience. Because for 10 years, I've been manufacturing and selling invisible ink pens and a number of other pens right out of my house. So I teach someone who wants a product to hustle, and this was a product that I hustled when I didn't have any money, and I said, you need something to hustle. You can make them for 17 cents. You can wholesale them by the hundreds for $1.50 a piece or even more, and that details the details on that business and offers an opportunity or a license.
A lot of the people out there are not necessarily looking to be their own boss, so to speak, a lot of times. Because they're out there looking for stuffing envelopes or assembly work or something to that nature. This allows them to be their own boss, because I checked this out, your ID pen.
Okay.
And it's a business opportunity. They're running their own business, but yet they're doing the work. Because I think some people are actually looking to still work. They want to. They're used to being like an employee. So I think this gives them that opportunity so that they can work and have a structured job, so to speak. But it's a side business. It's a business opportunity. It's a true business opportunity.
It really is. I mean, I can't believe that it's been 10 years and I'm still selling invisible ink pens and red eye pens. And the beauty of it is I figured out how to manufacture these pens right out of your home with nothing but boxes, rubber bands, and the parts that you buy from your suppliers. And your cost on manufacturing is 17 cents, and you can resell it. You can wholesale them at 10 times. You need something with margin. Margins are so important, and what's so beautiful about the pens is I can store 100,000 pens in the corner of a room. room.
Yes.
And you, so you have total control.
Yes, absolutely. They're so small.
A new website that we just set up is I co-authored a book with a gentleman named Bill Beaudry out of New York. He's a copywriter, and we created a course or a book. It's a collection of Claude Hopkins ads. The website's called claudehopkinsadvertising.com.
Okay.
Do you know who Claude Hopkins is?
Yes, I've heard of him.
Okay, Claude Hopkins is known as the greatest copywriter of all time. He had a career back from the early 1900s all the way to the 19, I think he died in 1950, but there's several books out on the market that you can pick up on Amazon called My Life in Advertising and Scientific Advertising, and these are two amazing books I'd recommend any of your listeners to read if they want to get a great fundamental education on marketing and copywriting. And so the books talk about all his experiences that he went through in his life and his most successful advertising campaigns, but no one had the original ads. So I went out and researched, and with the help of a research librarian and a historian, we located and found 60 of his original print ads that he talks about in his two books.
And once again, these are basically hard to find, right?
Extremely hard to find. Yeah, it's probably the world's largest collection of Claude Hopkins actual ads in any one place.
Okay.
So we created a book. It's a digital product that we created, and that's a website that goes over that, and we created lessons with each one of his advertising campaigns, and then there's a lot of bonuses that go with that, and they can check that out.
That's ClaudeHopkinsAdvertising.com.
ClaudeHopkinsAdvertising.com.
Okay.
Then I have MonacoProducts.com, which was the original name of my pen business.
Okay.
And on that site, I have all my pen products that can be bought off the site, and also a line of UV lights with the invisible ink pens that we sell. It's a pen that marks on valuables. You can put your driver's license number and your identity in case your property is stolen.
Okay.
It replaces those engravers. So with that, you need a UV light, a little handheld black light, to see the marking. So we get a lot of orders for UV lights. So I wholesale and retail UV lights, and then on that side, you'll find all my pen products. That's Monaco, M-O-N-I-C-O, products.com. That's with an S, .com. Then I have another site, which is called SenOff.com. Now, this is really important.
Oh, wait, it's just S-E-N-O-F-F.com?
Yep.
I always go to, when I check out your website, and I do see regularly to see if there's any updates, I go to MichaelSenOff.com. You
well,
own that, right?
Well, I have that, too, and
okay.
I'll tell you about that.
Now I can cut out the Michael. Just go to SenOff.
Yeah, well, actually, you could. Let me tell you what SenOff.com is. You know, I had all my sites with one website hosting company.
Okay.
And many times, my sites would go down, or there were problems, and my websites are my business. It's my livelihood. So I had my web guy. We set up a whole nother domain with a whole nother hosting company, and that's where that domain, SenOff.com, is hosted. So I have duplicates of all my websites at SenOff.com.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it right now as we speak. Okay.
So in case of emergency, let's say hard-to-find seminars goes down, I'm in the middle of a promotion, I can instantly email out to my list saying hard-to-find seminars is experiencing difficulty, go to SenOff.com, or I'll provide them a link to...
Yes, and then what you do is it says the name of the first URL, dot this, your, this domain, dot
com. Yeah, I've got a lot of space on there, so I've got everything on that site there, too.
Okay, that's great.
As a backup.
So those are all the URLs that you have. Is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, or
two more? I got two more.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, the next one is Executive Audio Institute. Executive Audio Institute.
Okay.
Now on my hardtofindseminars.com site, as you know, I have a series of over 117 hours of audio recordings, interviews, and recordings from some of the greatest marketing people around, and some average guys just like you and me, you know, who are doing marketing. So I've taken all those audio recordings, and I've taken out all the testimonials about myself. I've taken out all the ads and anything that really promotes myself, with the exception of a few things, and I've put all those audio recordings on that site, executiveaudioinstitute.com.
Okay.
And I provide a resale rights package to anyone who wants it for absolutely nothing. So I could say, Jay, I can give you your own custom page to Executive Audio Institute. You could say, this is Jay Gould's audio training for all my customers, and you can give them private label access to all 117 hours of my audio recording. rings for nothing.
Wow.
Okay?
Okay,
and then I have michaelsinoff.com, which was one of my original sites, which is really just a it's just a landing page that if anything's clicked on will take them back to hardtofindseminars.com. I just didn't want to lose that name.
Now, I'm looking at all of your websites give a ton of information up front, and I do this as well on insidertools.com.
Uh-huh.
I educate the customer before I ever ask them for a sale, and I notice that you're basically doing the same thing. You're teaching people things in a lot of these, because you'll throw clips of interviews or conversations with yourself and other marketers or other people in the industry, and you let other people listen to this up front. You don't necessarily give them the whole two-hour interview, but you do give a lot, and you'll give, I've noticed, like maybe 20, 30 of these things on a website where it's maybe 10, 15-minute clips you could listen to. And you know, it lures them in a little bit in one sense, but in another sense, it does teach them things. It's not just a bunch of fluff. Now, what do you have to say about that? Is that a marketing strategy that you do?
Well, it is a marketing strategy. As a matter of fact, I don't hold anything back in my audio recordings. I get those are the full recordings. There's nothing cut off where I try and sell you on more of the recordings. It's everything. So, like in this interview, if I put this interview up, you're going to get the whole thing.
Okay.
And the whole idea is, yeah, there's a strategy in that, and that's giving value. You know, whenever you want on your website something of value, and that's what I wanted to do with these audio interviews by me interviewing someone and picking their brain and getting as much information out of them as possible. You know, I'm digging for gold. I'm looking for ideas that I can use myself, so I'm learning at the same time. And I'm going to share that with anyone who comes to my site, because if I give them value, they'll be back to my site. And if I give them value, it's called the right of reciprocation. They're going to feel like they need to reciprocate me in some way, whether it's if I ask them for a testimonial or whether I come out with an offer for a product I have or what have you. But no doubt, I don't hold anything back. Whenever I talk to someone on the phone, I give them my 100% best, because, you know, that's what I believe in doing, and that's how I believe you build a list of loyal following customers.
Exactly. And with your business, a little bit more than necessarily my business, my customers will come to me to learn how to market, and then after they buy my course, I have a couple different courses, but after they buy those courses, I usually don't have much more to really offer them. I give them everything. I kind of lay it all out that I have and what I know.
Mm-hmm.
But you offer various different marketers like Jay Abraham and the likes. So they'll keep coming back to you for more and more. So you have a lifetime customer. You're building a relationship with these customers.
Well, what I find, if you know, you yourself, I'm sure, are a tremendous student. I mean, I don't know how many courses you buy or how long have you been educating yourself.
Over 8 years. And I've spent over $10,000 on various different products.
Now, do you plan on...
Scan after scan for years.
Right, well, do you plan on ever stopping learning?
Probably not, you know, because even after I think I know everything,
mm-hmm.
I'll continue to buy things. Even when I see a new opportunity, I told you about Jason Isaacson.
Right.
I bought Jason's course, and I feel like I'm pretty good at what I do, and I make a ton of money on the Internet doing what I'm doing. But I still see a course, and when I read the sales copy, if it kind of gets me a little bit inside, so I got to buy this. I need to, maybe I'm obsessed, but I'll still buy someone's course just to see what he has to say. Maybe he's doing something that I'm not doing.
Well, you
like to analyze everybody.
You're not obsessed, but you understand that if you can find one little idea that you haven't thought of, that can mean thousands and thousands of dollars.
And so if it only costs me a couple hundred dollars or maybe even less than $100 for some of these little things, little pamphlets and stuff, to me, that's not a lot of money. It's a write-off, first of all, because it's education, and it's you know, it's research and development for taxes. You know, so that it's a 100% write-off. If I write it right off the taxes at the end of the year, that's not really a concern of mine. But like you said, if you could just find one or two ideas that can make you thousands of dollars, it's well worth the money spent. And that money, usually, it's going to be residual year after year.
Exactly. Now, imagine you spend 10, 15 years educating yourself and just compiling more and more ideas in your head.
Exactly.
And know that you have 20 or 30 ideas that you could go anywhere and start from anywhere in the world and know without a doubt that you have the combination, you have the formula to an idea that can make you money at will. Why would you ever need to keep money in your bank account? You know, you walk through an airport when you go through customs and you're going out of the country, and they want to make sure you fill out a form that you have less, you know, that you, if you have anything over $10,000 on you. But you can walk through an airport with ideas in your head that can produce you millions anytime you want, and they don't ask.
Anywhere in the world to do it.
And you can go anywhere in the world to do it. Now, what would you rather have? $10,000 on you, or a head full of ideas that can produce you millions anytime?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So
that's pretty much. I never thought of it in those specific terms and put it that into that word, into those words. But that's pretty much the gist of it. I mean, you're learning secrets, not necessarily secrets. I mean, anybody has access to this if they're willing to spend the money to buy them. I mean, you can't just get this stuff for free. These people are well-renowned people like Jay Abraham and into the likes of that. So, I mean, if you're going to learn these things that these guys learned over a 30-year period, and they're going to throw it all together in a course for you to listen to, you know, you're going to have to pay a decent amount of money for something like that, but it's going to make you a ton of money over the course of years. And once you know it, like you said, you know it forever.
Well, if you implement it, absolutely. Ideas are a dime a dozen, but it's a person who acts on them. But back to your question as far as my type customer. So my customers are people who like to learn and who do continual learning. So many of my customers will stay with me for years and come back, and as new courses are available, they can trade in their stuff. They can, you know, I'll make offers.
That because I remember hearing about that from somebody that you actually buy stuff back again from the customers that purchased from you, and I guess you resell it again, is that right?
Well, it depends. You know, this is hard to find stuff. You know, I can't go to Kinko's and run copies of this because I don't own the copyright to it.
Exactly.
I'm like a used bookstore for expensive seminars. But I use barter. So, for instance, let's say I find 20 of a seminar, for example, Jay Abraham's 2003 Mastermind Marketing Seminar. I was able to get a lot of those. Let's say I had 10 or 15 sets. Well, not everyone's asking for those, but let's say I'm looking for instance, a set of Protégé tapes, which was a popular training that Jay Abraham put on in 1989 and 1990, and I don't have it. Well, I have a list of everyone who has bought on eBay for the last 2.5 years any product related to Jay Abraham, plus I have my own customer list of everything I've sold to people. Well, many people, I can go back to my list, and let's say I don't have an inventory, a Protégé training set, I'll go to my list and find out who bought one from me, and I'll say, hey, are you finished with the Protégé tapes? Would you be willing to trade? So I'll trade them for something they don't have, like the Mastermind Marketing Seminar that I'm sitting on 10 of them, and I'll get that, and I'll be able to sell it. So
what does something like that particular seminar sell for so people can get an idea?
The Protégé training seminar, that was a seminar that sold for $15,000, $20,000 retail back in 1989-1990. I sell that seminar for around $695.
That's a huge discount. That's thousands of percent lower, you know?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Now, you don't get the experience of going to the seminar, but you get the edited version of the actual seminar on tape.
What they're going to bring home after they leave the seminar, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah.
And you don't have to stay in a hotel. You don't have to sit in
grand or go anywhere, yeah.
That's right.
That's awesome. You know, a lot of times they say going to those seminars are great, too, because you get to mingle with some of the other top marketers. But most of the people who are there are not top marketers, though. They're people who are learning to try to become marketers, or they're trying to learn the strategies.
That's correct.
You know, listening to it at home or being there is not going to have that much of a difference or effect on you.
Right. You know, look, the bottom line is going to a seminar can be exciting, but it's a pain in the butt. You're away from your family. You're staying in a hotel. Maybe it's not the nicest hotel. It's expensive. You're sitting all day long in maybe some uncomfortable chair next to someone you don't want to sit. It's very difficult to absorb all that information in a 4-day event. It's usually in one ear, out the other.
And let's be honest, I mean, most people can spend or splurge $600, but $20,000 or $15,000, that's not something most people can actually spend.
That isn't something that the masses can spend. That's correct.
Absolutely. Well, the one thing I wanted to ask you was, you have all these different websites. You have a ton of different websites. You're like me. You get into all different areas. It seems to be you haven't really gotten into too many different areas except for the ID Pen, it seems, and the other stuff all seems to be marketing, right?
Right.
Okay, but the ID Pen was something you've done for the last 10 years or so?
Correct.
Now, you said you manufactured these pens for 10 years. Do you actually have workers that work for you for these pens when you do manufacture them?
Yep. When I'm manufacturing them, I've had a nanny ever since my 4.5-year-old was born. So the nanny's here usually anywhere from 3 to 5 days a week. And there's downtime for her. So when the kids are napping, if I've got 2 hours, I have all the parts in here, all the parts right here at my house. So everything is assembled. Some of it is pre-assembled that I farm out with somebody, and they do the work out of their home, and they'll bring back, let's say, I give them 20,000 sets of pen parts.
Okay.
And with a pen, you have a cap of a pen. If you look at a pen on your desk, you've got the cap, you've got the barrel, you've got a plug, that's the end cap you usually chew off, and you've got the tip that goes in it. So this is like a felt tip pen. So I buy all these parts from a supplier, and then I have someone pre-assemble and put the caps on. Put the tip in the pen barrel, and then put the cap on. So those are done out of someone's home, and then they're all here at my house. And then the next step is we have to line them up in these boxes, getting ready to insert a reservoir filled with ink. So it's all done through sequential steps, and on downtime in 2 hours, we could easily make a couple thousand pens, all by hand.
And you said you're making about $1 or $1.50 off each one of those wholesale.
My cost is 17 cents. If I wholesale them for $1.50, yeah, you can do the math.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Does your primary income come from ID Pen, or is it coming from hard to find seminars? Where's the majority of your business being coming from right now?
It's a combination of both. My primary income is coming from my hard to find seminars, though. It's the profit I make in between buying and reselling the seminars, plus other services that I provide, like I do audio interviews, and then I generate income by promoting products on my website and doing joint ventures and a number of things.
Do you ever do consultations? Do consultations with people, and you'll actually help consult with somebody and how they can get set up with their own home business or something?
Well, I do like free, like if someone calls me, I'll give them my best advice, which you can see examples of all over my site. Now, I didn't really have the confidence to know how to charge for that and how to do that, but I just went to a seminar on that, and he's probably one of the greatest marketing guys around. His name is Martin Howie.
Yeah, I've seen that on your website, yeah.
Okay, so he's putting on trainings out of Phoenix every month on how to do business consulting, and this guy's got an incredible experience within the insurance industry and consulting. And if you go to my site to the products page, or if you go to my site and where you see consulting, you can hear multiple interviews I've done with this man, and plus you can hear testimonials of people who've gone to the seminar. Now, I've never gone to a seminar like a J. Abraham seminar, my wife, and I just went to his Martin Howie seminar in Phoenix in March, and it was incredible. So I now have the absolute confidence that I could take a client. So let's say I have clients calling me every day, and they want to buy J. Abraham material or other marketing material. What they're really telling me is I need help with my business. Well, I can ask them a series of questions and get an idea of what their business is like and identify if this may be a good business to work with, and I can certainly encourage them to let me do consulting for them. Now, I'm very careful now that I know I have the ability to do it, and I know how to charge, and I know how to present an offer to a business to do this. I'm very selective of who I would take, just because my time is limited.
Yeah,
time is money. So, I only want
to... Even when you have a set price at what your time is worth, it's still your time that you devote to your own business is time away from your business, which is going to cost you money with your own business.
Right. I mean, right now, literally, I've done very little promotion of any of my businesses. I mean, the last 3 years, I've really been building the content, building the audio recordings, just getting the roots of a giant oak set in place. And I'm almost to the point where I'm now ready to start really promoting the audio interviews and the products and services that I have. But literally, it's been 3 years of putting this together and getting the structure and the foundation set in the plan and the strategy in place. And it's just about there. So a lot of my time has been in developing that product. And now certainly because it's my own products, it's been very time consuming, and there's give and take in that. I mean, I could simply go buy the rights to other products, but I wanted it to be my own. I wanted to have control, and I wanted it to be... Here's a tip. If you're listening to these audio recordings in MP3, here's a way where you can listen through the content twice as fast and still be able to absorb all the information. What you want to do is you want to go to a website and download a free trial of goldwave.com, GOLDWAVE.com. Now, this is an audio file editor, and one of the features on this editor is it allows you to play the audio recordings at any speed you want. So you can have it speed up to where it sounds like you're listening to the chipmunks where their voices are real high. But I do a lot of editing of audio recordings, and I find when I'm doing the editing, you're still able to listen to audio content about twice the speed of normal language. And it takes a little bit of practice, but you can fly through audio content. So if you like to learn by audio and you want to listen to content and you don't mind listening to the different higher pitch voice, it's a very effective way of getting through content twice as fast.